we are just thrilled when we hear an answered prayer like that. So that's tremendously. And the same with Beverly. That was miraculous. It did not look good for a while. So that's great. Marlena, it's great to see you. That's a miracle in itself. She's still having breathing issues, but March 14th?
No, I made a mistake.
May 14th. That's not good. Okay. So May 14th. So we just pray God to care for you and take care of you till then. I got a text from Joe Alexander today. He said his dad is having minor surgery. Mark Alexander's having minor surgery this week. Continue praying for Matthew Stimple with his MS, Beth Klopek, ALS. Pound the Cause, your neighbor is your neighbor still in the hospital?
No, I was just going to actually say a praise today. She got out on Thursday.
Oh, good.
She is on the feeding tube.
Okay. Yeah, it's been about 3 months.
Since the beginning, yeah. So she was really happy.
Awesome. Thanks for the update there. We keep praying for her for that and continued recovery. Some of you may remember Dave Lux. Dave Lux was pastor at Planada for years. He went to work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he was a missionary to Cameroon and spent the bulk of the time trying to translate the Bible into, I think it was called Noon or Noni tribes, and they were translating the New Testament into their language. It took almost 20 years to get it done, but they got it done, and 2 days ago was their distribution, but there were... things have changed in Cameroon over 20 years. It's against the law to distribute New Testaments in Cameroon. So he's asking prayer for the safety of those who are still there. They're not in Cameroon anymore. They're retired, but the work was being finally finished. And so just pray for Cameroon and the Bible distribution there, and especially those who are doing that. Karen's mom is still stable, doing well. Be with Karen as she drives back and forth 2 or 3 times a week. Dolores, it's great to see you. You're on the list because I didn't know that you were. I know you're feeling.
I just woke up yesterday and couldn't walk around at all. Couldn't lift my head.
Yeah.
My back.
Yeah.
And
so. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Be with David and his surgery in March. And then any other prayer requests that you may have that you want to share?
Nathaniel
in his back. Go ahead, Jim.
My oldest son, Chris.
Yes.
He was taken to the hospital Friday evening.
And he's got vertigo, right? Is that, or?
Well, it's, yeah. He had so bad that he laid in bed all day because he couldn't focus on his phone.
Really? So he's still in the hospital? Okay. Oh, really? Okay. You got it. His name is Chris. That's Jim's son. Son, yes, Dave.
Yeah, this is not a prayer request, but this week, you probably know that a tree fell down across from the grade school there in the park.
Yeah.
And the county cleaned it up, but there is a beehive in that tree that the school was worried about. They gave me a call, and I knew a good beekeeper. And so Andy went to there and took care of the beehive and saved all the kids from the bees.
Wow. See? Thank you, Andy, for doing that. That's amazing. That's good. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for answered prayers. We've seen miracles talked about today, Lord, and that's why we take these to you, Lord. There's still a lot of needs. I pray for Chris and his testing that they're doing in the hospital, Lord, that they could diagnose the issue, and pray for Marlena that you would keep her protected and strong until May, and when she gets this finally taken care of, be with Mark in his surgery this week. For Maria, I know, Lord, she must be disappointed she didn't get to go home, but Lord, I'm glad that they're going to keep her till she's much better and feeling strong. Pray for Hunter, Lord, with his appointment on Thursday, that God, they would do a miracle there, that they would also find healing and cleansing there, Father. We pray for Steve's recovery, Beverly's recovery, Mark's surgery this week, for Matthew and Beth. And Lord, great news about the Palnikoff neighbor. We just continue to pray. We pray, Lord, for the Cameroon Bible distribution. We pray for all of the pockets of real struggles in the Ukraine and other places where Christian missionaries are in the center of a lot of conflict. We pray for their safety. Lord, we ask you to have your hand upon our service today. We place these prayer requests, the ones that were mentioned, the ones that are unspoken. Lord, they belong to you. Your will be done. Lord, you will heal where you're going to heal. You will challenge where you're going to challenge. But Lord, we just confidently, boldly give these requests to you. Ask your will to be done. Lord, we now turn our attention to the praise and worship of you and your Son. And Lord, just this incredible word that we have, Lord, let us be blessed by it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Once again, welcome to Bible Christian Church. We're going to go ahead and start our singing with 538. I love to tell the story. Hymn number 538. And I encourage you to stand as we sing our opening hymn. I love to tell the story, hymn number 538.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing, has nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. On the last, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like a rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Beautiful singing. Our Bible reading will be from Jeremiah chapter 5 today. Verse 1 through 3 says, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in their open places if you can find anyone, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Though they say, 'As the Lord lives,' surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You had consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They made their faces harder than rock. They refused to return. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated at this time. And hymn number 418 says, "Trust and Obey." We'll sing the first, second, and last. Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can arise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives them away. While we do his good will, he'll abide with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Beautiful singing. We'll do one more. 161, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Hymn number 161.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Once again, beautiful singing. Once again, welcome. We'd like to start with birthdays, and I was talking to Maria yesterday. She wanted to remind everybody that her birthday is a week from today. Her birthday's a week from today. It's kind of neat, kind of going to be on a Sunday. We've been anticipating it, and so that's really great.
Yes. Have a birthday and kind of a praise and prayer.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And just a couple days ago. He's just, God's been really giving him strength. But he will never, I mean, if you look back, he's never till he's 87 now. So just continue praying, maybe for him to have strength. And he's kind of down right now because we're not there and he doesn't have much to do. And his, you know, just go play. Yeah.
We get down when you're not here, too. So, but you can't be two places at once. So, all right.
Couple more weeks.
Really? You don't look 87 either.
I'm going to be 87 someday.
Someday. Oh, man. You're a strong man, John. Happy birthday. That's great. Any others? All right. That's John and Maria. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Any anniversaries? All right, lots going on by way of announcements. Tonight is continued missionary month, and we're going to be focusing on the Apostle Paul tonight. And we have Apostle Paul games. And so that's tonight at 5:30 or 5 o'clock with Awana. Also reminding with Awana, March the 3rd, it's coming up, is the Awana Grand Prix. That's open to everybody who wants to do it. Even if you have kids or grandkids or you just as an adult want to make a car, you can get them from Karen. They're $3. And on February the 17th, from 1 to 5 at Stan Murdoch's shop, if you want to cut your car, you'll have a cutting afternoon that February 17th. Car kits are available. So that's 5 o'clock on March the 3rd, and it's open to everyone, any kids, whether you're in Awana or not. It's trying to make it a community thing if we can. And so if you know anybody or you have kids or grandkids or neighbors that would like to participate, that's one of the funner things that we do in the year. Adults also, for sure. Adults.
The only thing with adults, there's no awards. There's no race. You can see them. There's no awards. For the kids, there's awards.
Yes. But there is wagering, so that's different. We've already got, some people have turned in some baby bottles already. We thank you for that. And these are for Alpha Pregnancy Center. You just take them. They're in the foyer. Fill them up with coins or checks or bills and then turn them back into Mrs. Flanagan, Miss Liz, and she'll take care of that. Do you know when the last day is?
If you don't get them turned in, they'll take them anytime.
They'll take them anytime, yes. They can't be late. They won't refuse it. Deacons meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Biblical Citizenship Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. And the Grand Prix. Also, just no details on it, but I did talk to Don yesterday, and the Clintons will once again be hosting our sunrise service, and that is on March the 31st. So it's getting closer than I thought it was. So March the 31st, and we'll have some details coming up on what you can bring and how we can get all that together with the breakfast and all that things. And so we'll give you details. But March the 31st, we will be having sunrise service. And boy, was that a beautiful venue. That was just so great. I really enjoyed that. So something a little different. Liz, yeah, she did, went by and inspected it. And there was a bald eagle out on your... That was incredible. So if you could have him there on Easter sunrise, that would be really great. All right. All right. Anything I'm missing or forgetting? Yes.
Well, I have some praises. I drove to Turlock, and I was driving back, and I got a flat tire, a very flat tire. And I was not on the freeway. That's my praise, you know. I mean,
sure.
We talk about miracles, and all those huge miracles are amazing, and we need to share them. But it's really a miracle that that happened for me. It's a miracle that the pollen crops were here so they could take care of the bees. All these little things are really not little. It's just amazing that God coordinates years of things to work out for his will. And I just think it's so nice when people share those things.
There have been more, and I know details, but that's the last 2 weeks, just seeing God just a little different places. It's been really a little overwhelming for me, but also encouraging and things like that.
It is overwhelming. It is. Start thinking about how he does that for everybody.
Yeah, does that for everybody. And now, sometimes I think he's only paying attention to me, but I know that. I know that. He just makes you feel that way. You know, he's, how busy can he be? And yet you feel like he's got you always on his mind. So, well, let's worship him. And we'll have Silas come up and we'll go to worship at this time. We encourage you to stand for worship. If you prefer to be seated, just be seated and relax and sing the songs as you see fit. And thank you, Silas.
Before time, we are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well. died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. You are my King. You would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do, to honor.
Transgressions was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us was upon him. By his wounds, By his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds we are healed. Please be seated at this time. Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned his face away as wounds which mar the Holy One bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon his cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain? Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sing this last song, I pray that we would remember this, the suffering of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on our behalf, and that we would remember that it was for our sin that he suffered and died.
Lord, if every other person in this world was perfect, Jesus would still have been crucified and died for my sin, Lord. I pray that this would be a thought that would humble us and lead us to worship of you, Lord, and appreciation of the incredible gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he endured for us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 5, Children's Church. You're dismissed at this time with Miss Grace. Thank you, Miss Grace, so much for that. We're going to be in Jeremiah 5 today. This is quite the chapter. By the end of walking through this chapter, and if you have your Bibles and you walk through it with me, I think you'll be, I think you'll learn a lot. I think all of us will. Also, I think you'll have a better, greater understanding of what Bible Christian Church is about and what the church in as a whole in the world today should be about. Now, in chapter 4, we had the response of Jeremiah to God when God revealed that Babylon was going to come and take Judah captive, and they took him for 70 years. And if you remember that Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, you know, I thought there was going to be peace." And he tells him, no, the peace was not what I said. It was what these false prophets have said. I never said there would be peace. And so at the end of chapter 4, God reveals that there is going to be a judgment. And that's the truth. The Lord is going to return someday. When the Lord returns someday, to those of us who know him as our Lord and Savior, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be incredible. But to those who do not know Jesus, it's going to be a stumbling block. It's going to be a time of judgment. And so in chapter 5, God gives Jeremiah a task. He says in verse 1, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks truth, and I will pardon her." So as Jeremiah says, Lord God, boy, this seems to be a harsh punishment. I thought there would be peace. To let Jeremiah understand the world, he says, "I want you to go to the open places and see if you can find anyone who seeks the truth. Because though they say," verse 2, "as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely." The Bible says at the end times will be a form of godliness, but people's hearts will be far from him. "O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You've stricken them. They have not grieved. You've consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock, and they have refused to return." So God has given them this open door to return. "Return to me," he says in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, chapter 3. And then he says to Jeremiah, "I want you to go through the cities and seek somebody who seeks the truth. See if you can find anybody who seeks the truth." And what Jeremiah finds is they made their faces harder than rock, and they refused to return. Well, it's interesting that he tells them to go to and fro and find someone who seeks the truth, when we know from 1 Peter 5:8 that we have somebody else that's going to and fro around the world. And who would that be? Our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Our call of God is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we go to and fro, seeking those who seek the truth. Satan goes to and fro, seeking those who he can devour and keep from the truth. This is what we call spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers in darkness. And I will tell you, it is a difficult fight. We talked about Timothy last Sunday night when God says we are to endure hardship as a soldier of Christ. It's hardship at times. It should be just very simple that in Cameroon, they should be able to distribute the Bible to anybody they want to. But in the world today, that's just not how it is. And so it becomes difficult. So our job is to go out and seek those who seek the truth. Well, that statement by God is important. And the reason why it's important is this. What is the truth? And for God to say that we are to seek those who seek the truth, the first thing we have to do is establish what? What the truth is. And that's the rub. Is there in the universe an absolute truth? Or is truth just whatever we think it is? There is an absolute truth. In fact, in John chapter 18, Jesus is speaking with Pilate. And Pilate says to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered and said, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So Jesus says, this is my cause. It's an incredible statement. This is my cause. I have come into the world to establish the absolute truth. And the response of Pilate in verse 38 is, Pilate says to him, what's the question? What is truth? Isn't that the world's answer today? I believe that Jesus Christ is the God of the universe, that he came in the form of a man, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And I believe that everybody that believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe that those that have the Son will have eternal life, and those that have not the Son will have not life. That's what I believe, but it's not just what I believe, it's what I know to be the truth of the universe. But the world says, well, that's your truth. So you have to ask yourself some questions. Somehow the universe got created, right? The universe is here. It got here somehow. It either exploded, got here by accident, or God created it, or it's another thing that we've never even thought about. Well, I know the person that was actually there when it happened. His name is God, and he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That then becomes the truth. So what is the truth? Well, we're told in the scriptures very clearly, John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the truth is Jesus. John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world." Well, what do we send in the world to do? To seek those who are seeking the truth. But you have to be armed with the truth. And the truth is the word of God. Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm going to tell you that I love this place. I love this town. I love Bible Christian Church. But boy, are we different. You look around the room, boy, you talk about different personalities and characters and likes and dislikes. And yet we all gather together as one today because we've all come to the same miraculous knowledge that Jesus is the truth. Amen. And that's where we're all the same. It's a miracle. You talk about, you know, we're talking about little miracles today. But the miracle that so many different people from so many different walks of life in so many different ways and manners have come to this same incredible knowledge that the Bible is the truth and Jesus is the truth. And if you know it for sure, would you just say amen? Amen. And we can't explain why we know it for sure, but we know it to be true. And when you meet another Christian and they say, yeah, I know that Jesus is true, and you say, how do you know it's true? Because I know it too, and we can't even explain it to each other. It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Look at John 16:12 says this, I still have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus says. He'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And his Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You take the Bible, Jesus, the Spirit, and you put them all together, and you have a miracle that has transformed your life. Because you went from not knowing what the truth is to knowing what the truth is. I will tell you something about me personally. When I was 19 and my sister died, and I was told by her boyfriend that she's in heaven because she was a Christian, I went seeking the truth. And I said, God, I have to know. I have to know. That seeking of the truth was the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the what? Father draws him. God was merciful enough to me that he placed within my soul a desire for the truth. And with that desire came God's manipulation of my river until I found it and he revealed it to me. And so what we're doing is we're going out in the world like Jeremiah, seeking those who seek the truth. I don't know how to find them, really. So we do different things. We send out shoe boxes. We put in Nineveh boxes. We play silly games in Awana. We welcome with you a church service. We do anything we can for the opportunity to say, look, here's the truth. And God, help those boxes land in the lap of a child who's seeking the truth. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful people. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ. So we speak that truth and we do it with love. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you since we heard of your faith of Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, because the hope which is laid up for you in the heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is the truth. It is true that every man and every woman on this earth is born inheriting sin from their fathers. It is true that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is true that the wages of sin is death. It's also true that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's true that we are separated from God because of our sin, but it's also true that God demonstrated love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart he's risen from the dead, you will be saved. It's true that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. That is true. You know what else is true? 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul says, if I'm delayed, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This church is not a church unless it's where the truth can be found. That's our purpose in this community, to be a lighthouse, a beacon, whatever you want to call it, that this has to be a place that when you invite a neighbor or you invite a friend or someone just randomly walks in, that when they walk in here, they hear the truth. That's our number one. The music is great. Fellowship is fantastic. Prayer is wonderful. Activities are tremendous. Potlucks, amazing. But if it's not the word being taught, then it's an empty shell of a place. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. I wish we could force the truth on our community, but that never works. So we pray and we seek. And every car that goes through that gets a bag of food, or every person that drives up during brown bag, is this a person seeking the truth? Sure, they're seeking food, they're seeking nourishment, they're seeking help. But within that crowd, is there somebody seeking the truth? And can we find that person? Well, sadly, as we go back to Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah doesn't find anybody. He says, therefore, surely these are poor. They are foolish. They do not know the way of the Lord. The judgment of their God, I will go to the great men and speak to them. For they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bond. So he goes to the poor, and nobody wants to know the truth. He goes to the wealthy, the great. Nobody wants to know the truth. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. Who's the lion? Walking about like a roaring lion. You see, this is why we need this view of the human race. We have to be careful. They are being chased by a roaring lion seeking to devour them. We have the truth that will rescue them from that roaring lion. And yet, their roaring lion is so attractive. It's difficult. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. The Bible says that wolf comes to steal the sheep in John chapter 10. And that the thief comes to steal and destroy. But God gives to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It's a battle. We've got to stand in the gap. We've got to stand in intercession between God and man and warn them. It's a difficult thing. A leopard watches over the cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. How shall I pardon you for this? In verse 7, your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I have fed them to the full, they have committed adultery and assembled themselves by the troops and the harlots' houses. And that spiritual adultery is leaving the God that created us, leaving the bridegroom, so to speak, for anything that takes the place of God. And it's sad in that verse 7, he says that the children have forsaken me. And what have we done? We have the truth. What is the truth? It is the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. What have we taken out of schools in the last 50 years? We don't even allow them to see the truth, to even make a determining factor of what is true. It's not even to be taught alongside all these other scientific. In fact, do you want to teach creation or do you want to teach evolution? Well, we'll just take creation and not even teach it at all. How are our children supposed to come to the knowledge of the truth when the only thing that's true is taken away from them? Well, the Bible says to those who would harm one of God's children, it would be better if a what? Millstone was hung around their neck and they were tossed in the depths of the sea. They were well-fed, lusty lions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. In other words, they're just so bent on sin. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Jeremiah, you go find somebody who can find the truth. And he found them to be as hard as a rock and evil and wicked. Go upon the walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. That's an amen verse. I'm not going to completely end it. Take away her branches, for they are not of the Lord's. Do you remember the chapter 15 of John when he talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. But he says those branches that are not abiding in God, they're to be broken off and placed into the fire, which represents what? Hell, you've got to be in Christ. You have to abide in him. If you are a Christian today and you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then if you die today or he returned today, you would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But if you reject this as truth and you say, well, what makes your religion right and every other religion wrong? This is going to be a deep theological answer. The reason why our religion is right and other religions is wrong is because our religion is right and other religions are wrong. What makes you so arrogant that you can say that? And I will just simply quote John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't make it up. If Jesus is the truth, then the truth is he's the only way to heaven. And I don't say that because I made it up or wrote it or think I'm arrogant. No, I've just discovered that truth. Jesus said it. So any argument you want to have about that, you can talk to him. He'd be happy to have a conversation with you about it. Verse 11, the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt treacherously with me, saith the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he. That's the other religion's problems. They say there's another way other than Jesus. Neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. The prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus it shall be done to him. So let's look at, they have taken Jesus today and said, he's not the way. And then they'll take Jesus and say, well, this Jesus that this arrogant conservative church is preaching is not the true Jesus. The true Jesus is completely different from the Jesus of the Bible. Without going into details, I just want to encourage you to be wary of any teaching about Jesus other than the scriptures. If you want to know who Jesus is, read your Bibles. TV shows, movies, they're often inaccurate. But the Bible is never inaccurate. Amen. So trust it. Trust it. Therefore, verse 14, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I'll make my words in your mouth fire, and the people would, and it shall devour them. Jude talks about some are saved by compassion and some are saved through fire. He looks at Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, because Jeremiah, he says, oh God, I would rather preach peace and love. So would I. But there is a judgment coming, and we can't be afraid to talk about it. And he says, at this time, now, praise God, we still live in a time where we can preach the compassion and love of Christ. But there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to come with the sword of the Spirit that is his word, is his tongue. He says, verse 15, behold, I'm going to bring a nation against you from afar. That's Babylon. O house of Israel, says the Lord, it's a mighty nation, an ancient nation, a nation whose language you don't know, nor can you understand. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They're all mighty men, and they will eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They'll eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your figs. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Be careful what you trust. Judah was trusting in their swords, trusting in their riches, trusting in themselves. Does that sound familiar? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. Be careful what you trust and who you trust. I can read the Bible. I remember this sweet, sweet student I had, and she was so innocent and so nice, and we had a Bible lesson one day, and she says, Mr. Flanagan, I like the lesson today, but it's not what TikTok says. And that was her theological opening, was TikTok. This is the truth. This is filled with lies. Be careful what you trust. Look at the first word of verse 18. It's a really great word. I don't know. I think it's probably the same as what my New King James says. What's yours say? It's a good word. It's a good word. When God talks about his judgment coming, and then he says, nevertheless. Woo! Praise God for nevertheless. John Flanagan, you are a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner deserving of hell. Nevertheless, my son has paid every single debt owed in your life. And now you are the righteousness of God in him. Woo! I like that nevertheless. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. It will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do these things to us? Then you shall answer, just as you have forsaken me and served other gods, so you shall serve aliens in a land, and it is not, that is not yours. That's Babylon. It says, look, you're going to say, God, why? We know loved ones who refuse to obey the truth, who refuse to accept the Bible as truth, who refuse to accept the commandments of God, and then their life gets in trouble, and they say, oh, why is God doing this to me? Obedience is greater than sacrifice. So what do we do? Verse 20, declare it in the house of Jacob. Proclaim it in Judah, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the uttermost parts of the earth, it says in the book of Acts. Hear now, O foolish people without understanding, whose eyes have not seen and whose ears do not hear. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? So let me ask you the same question. What is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. This is the message. We are to declare it and proclaim it, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Many will not like it. Many will reject it. That's why we're going through Jeremiah, because we live in a very similar time in which the 20 years of work in Cameroon, they've had to hide these New Testaments. They actually, one of the things they were praying about was they had to move them to another area because someone had found out where they were and they were afraid they were just going to be burned. What a world we live in. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? By the way, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Who is this God that they should fear? Well, he's the one who placed the sand and the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. Though its waves toss to and fro, they cannot prevail. They roar, yet they cannot pass over it. God controls the sea. His people has a defiant and rebellious heart, verse 23. They revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. And this is the one thing that I have observed over the last decade or so. That if there's one thing that has really changed in our world today, it is there is no fear of God anymore. It used to be where, well, I'm not very religious, but they wouldn't use the Lord's name in vain or blaspheme him. Today, there's an empowerment of evil. They do not fear God. This God who gives rain in the former and the latter season, he reserves for us the appointed weeks of harvest. Oh, we're farmers around here, not we, but you. I don't understand farming. I don't get it, but it's a miracle to me. I do not understand watermelon seeds. I don't get them. I love watermelon, but it's the tiniest little seed that turns into the fattest piece of fruit you've ever seen, and it makes no sense to me, but it goes into the ground and dies and then rises again out of the ground. Sound familiar? What a picture. What a God that we can feed ourselves with dirt. It's a miracle, and this is the God we want to shake our fists at and say, I don't want anything to do with you. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned these things away. Your sins have withheld good from you. This is all you're doing. I've offered you mercy and grace, salvation, my son to die and be beaten and nailed to a cross, and you've rejected it. And then you want to call God the one who's unjust? God the one who's unfair? For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets a snare. They set a trap as they catch men. Remember the Bible? Jesus looked at Peter, and what did he tell him that Satan wanted to do for him? He wanted to sift you as wheat. Satan sets his traps, and we see the world falling right into to the den of lies, don't we? We just watch it, and we see it, and it breaks our heart. But it's interesting, because we are also supposed to catch men. Did you know that? In fact, the Bible calls us what? Fishers of men. What's our bait when we fish? It's the gospel. It's the truth. And this is that goes back to the beginning of this chapter. We're looking for those who look for the truth. So we put the truth out there as bait. Whether it's the tracks in the bags or the shoe boxes or everything we send out, it's got the gospel in it. That's the bait. That somebody would take it. We're fishers of men. Satan is a trapper of men. And it's almost a battle. But I will tell you, this is for sure. Anyone in this world who through the Holy Spirit is seeking the truth will not get away from God. It's just plain and simple. I just simply want to be part of the process. I want to be part of the process. Verse 27 says, it's a cage full of birds, so they set their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they've become great and grown rich. You can get rich selling sin. Have you noticed that? They've grown fat and are sleek, yet they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead their cause and the cause of the fatherless. It's interesting how those who are some of the most violently against God hold themselves up as the kings of mankind. They're saving the world. You know, I heard someone say the other day, I want my music to change the world. Well, the only way it's going to change the world is if you sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. That's music that'll change the world. They prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Now, the nation he's talking about in verse 29 is the nation of Judah and Israel and Jerusalem, but I think you could put USA right in there. So let's go fishing. We need to go fishing. John chapter 10 puts it this way. I like it a lot. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither will anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, we have a promise of God. We have the bait of the gospel. And we have the promise of God that when his sheep hear his voice, they will follow him. I just don't know who the sheep are. And I can't tell who the sheep are unless I mention the name of their shepherd. And when I preach Jesus Christ and share the love of Christ and share the gospel, if they're sheep, they perk up. They're drawn to it. And they will come. Sometimes we try to force feed the gospel to those who don't want to hear it. What did the disciples and apostles do when they didn't want to hear it? The Bible says they would wipe the dust off their feet and move on to the next city. Well, this is our city. This is our little corner of the world. And what we're going to do is continue to fish. Continue to put the gospel out. Jesus is wonderful. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God died for you and demonstrates his love. And then somebody says, what? Why? I want to hear more. Why does that person want to hear more? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. You want to see the opposite? Turn to John chapter 8, and you'll hear the opposite of this. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." John 8:44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources because he is a liar and the father of it." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is a liar and the father of it. Everything he says is a lie. Everything Jesus says is true. Verse 45, Jesus says, "But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear me because you are not of God." Why couldn't the Pharisees, seeing everything Jesus did, they watched him do miracles, and they still would not believe him? Why? They were not of God. So we go fishing. We go fishing. Jeremiah, go and see if there's anyone who seeks the truth. Bible Christian Church, go out there and see if there's anyone seeking the truth. I cannot make somebody who's never going to believe in God believe in God. I just want to find those who are going to believe in God and be part of the process. I want to go fishing. I want to catch and be part of that. Let's close with the last two verses in Jeremiah. "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land." Are you not astonished at how far away from God we are getting? Is it not astonishing what the world believes and what the world rejects? "The prophets prophesy falsely, priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so." It's not the false teachers that get me so much. It's the thousands that sit under them that should know better. It's astonishing. So I want you to look at the very last sentence in chapter 5. And it says simply, "But what will you do in the end?" And that's the question. What are we going to do about it? We're the Jeremiahs today. We're the ones left here to say, go see if you can find anybody who's seeking the truth. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the power of the word. I'm going to have my sheep ready. And I'm going to give you the bait of the gospel. Now go fishing. Because this is what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." I'm not a hunter or a fisherman. Not because I think it's wrong, it's because I'm a sissy. But I do understand that there are seasons when you can fish and seasons when you can't fish. And I do understand that God instructs us to fish for men, whether it's in season and out of season. It feels like it's out of season at this time in our history. But it doesn't change. "We convince and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering." It says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears far away from the truth. We go all the way back to the beginning. And they turn aside to fables. That's where we live today. "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And our ministry is to go and seek those who are seeking the truth. Armed with the gospel, armed with the promise of God that his sheep will hear his voice. We understand the process. Some plant, some water, some reap. Just be part of the process. And you're doing a good job there. All of us are trying to do a good job there and looking for creative ways to go fishing, trying new ways to get the bait out there. This is a great chapter for us. No law but love, no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. But you have to start with the very basic truth that there is absolute truth in the universe, and it's all in this book. If you start with there, you are going to change lives through the presentation of the gospel. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to do Amazing Love to close, if you'll come and do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this very clear, very definite commandment of yours. We're no different than Jeremiah. It's a battle. As Satan walks about like a roaring lion to and fro, seeking who may devour, we are going to and fro trying to find somebody who's seeking the truth. And our little corner of the world is this little city of LeGrand, this little town, this little place in which through whatever means necessary, we can open a door to share the gospel. Lord, I pray, God, that you would lead us to those who you are drawing to you, that we might be part of this beautiful process of life-changing transformation of the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing Amazing Love. This is the story we preach.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, that you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. To honor you, you are my King, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do, to honor you.
Amen. Thanks for your attention this morning. Went a little long, but it was a good chapter. Awana at 5 o'clock, and then 2 Timothy 3 at 6:30 tonight if you want to go through that with us. So God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for coming.